If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 this evening, and we're going to take a couple of verses from a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And when I read these verses, you're probably going to say, "Well, I have those verses memorized. I know the message that Brother Paul is going to preach." I think if we take a look at Philippians chapter 3, verses number 13 and 14, and really apply them to our lives, the Lord can be honored, and the Lord can be glorified, and we can take that next step in our Christian life. You know, many people for hundreds of years, philosophers all over the world and men much smarter than I have asked the question, why are we here? Why is mankind here on earth? Why, you know, what is our purpose here on earth? For many people, the answer would be to see how much I can get, to see how much money I can get, to see how many possessions I can have, how many cars, how much fun I can have in my life. And, you know, that's really all that they have to live for. But, you know, as Christians, we have a purpose for living here on earth. God has given us a reason to be here. Before he ascended to heaven, he gave us a command. He gave us what we call the Great Commission, the command to take the gospel into the entire world. As a Christian, that is your command. That is what God has told you we are to be doing. Now, specifically for us, we feel that this is what God has us to do, to move to Japan, thousands of miles away from anybody that we know, learning a new language, planting churches, and that's what we feel that God has for our lives. But this evening, I'm not just preaching to a missionary or someone who wants to go into the full-time ministry. As a Christian, no matter what stage of life you're at, no matter what your vocation, no matter how far along you are in your Christian walk, each and every one of us have a next step of faith that God wants us to take. You know, Pastor Edwards is trying to continually to grow and to take that next step of faith, but that step is completely different than the step of faith that I'm taking. He's at a completely different stage in his life. You're at a different stage than I am. Each and every one of us have a step that God wants us to take. And as we take a look at Philippians chapter 3, if I could think of one person who could look back at his life and say that I am satisfied what I have done for God, look at all the things that I have done, and look at all the great things that God has done through me, and I'm satisfied with what I have done in my life, it would be the Apostle Paul. But let's start reading in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. It says there in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." So the Apostle Paul says, look, I do not consider myself to have apprehended the prize. I haven't reached the goal that God has set before me. I have not yet apprehended. There's still something for me to do. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And as I said before, these verses are very famous verses. When I was at Crown, I had the opportunity to play soccer for 4 years. We, mainly because I was on the team, we were not ever very good. Verse number 13 was our theme verse. You know, forgetting those things which are behind and, you know, reaching forth to those things which are before. We quoted this before every game and it never worked. But we were always trying to forget those games that were behind and reaching forth towards those things which are before. As a Christian, there are three principles that from these verses, the Apostle Paul tells us that in order for us to take that next step of faith in our Christian walk, in order for us to serve God in the way that he wants us to, there are three things that we need to do that the Apostle Paul was going to do in his life. So we're going to take a few minutes and to look at those this evening. But before we do, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to gather together and to open your word. Lord, I pray that as we look through these verses and see what you did and what we need to do, Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to be convicted. I pray that you'd help us to leave here different than when we came in. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in order for us to take that next step. In order for us to serve God in the way that God wants us to, in order for us to do God's will in our life, the very first thing that the Apostle Paul says that he's going to do, he says, brethren, I haven't apprehended yet. Brethren, I haven't completed what God has given me to do. But in order for me to complete the task that God has given me, in order for me to do what God has given me to do, there are three things that I need to do. And the very first one is in verse number 13. We'll read that again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The Apostle Paul says, look, if I'm going to continue to serve God, if I'm going to do what God wants in my life, the first thing that I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to forget some things. Now, when I say we're going to have to forget some things, we think about all the bad things that have happened to us that we're going to have to forget. And the Apostle Paul says, if I'm going to continue serving God, there's a lot of trials and there's a lot of persecution that happened to me that I am going to have to forget. And when I say forget, it's not just completely forget about them and never think about them again. But we're not going to let our past tribulation, our past trials ruin our life and ruin our service for the Lord. Keep your place in Philippians chapter 3, but very quickly in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We're just going to read a few verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We're going to start reading in verse number 23. This is the Apostle Paul again speaking. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In laborers, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. The Apostle Paul goes through this list of things that he has gone through in his life. All these difficult things that he has faced. He's been stoned, he's been beaten, he's suffered shipwreck, and he's been hungry, he's been cold, and all those things that the Apostle Paul did. But in Philippians, he says, if I'm going to continue serving God, I'm going to forget about all those things. I'm not going to let those discouragements keep me from serving the Lord. I'm going to have to forget about those things that have happened in order for me to keep on keeping on. You know, if you are a Christian this evening, you suffer maybe some discouragements once in a while. There are trials that come up in your life. There are discouragements. There are difficulties that you face. But, you know, we can't let those things that come up in our life keep us from serving the Lord. We have to, like the Apostle Paul, forget those things. We have to say, those things that are in the past, I'm going to put them behind me. I'm going to just serve God today. I'm going to continue doing what God has given me today, and I'm going to forget those things. You know, just as a silly example, when we started deputation, we had our very first meeting on a Thursday night. And Thursday night, we had this meeting. Friday morning, we were coming home on I-95, and somebody rear-ends us in our van. And so, you know, we get out and we look. The damage isn't too bad, and so we're just going to leave it. We're not even going to fix the van at all. We're just going to keep driving with it. And so that was Friday. On Sunday, we come here to Heritage for church, and this was before the new building project, and we park out here in the back parking lot. And after the morning service, the bus director, who happens to be my brother, comes up to me after the service, and he says, well, one of the van's brakes let loose, and it hit the back of your van, and it completely messed it up. And from the story that I heard, Mike Helton had seen the bus, and he jumped on and was trying to stop it, but I believe he hit the accelerator or something like this. But no, he didn't. I'm just kidding. But I'm just going to continue to blame him for ruining our complete beginning of deputation. But here we are, one meeting of deputation, and we've been hit twice. It's just a silly example, but we could look at that and say, we've had one meeting, and our van has been hit twice. What is the rest of our deputation going to be like? We have, you know, 150 more churches to be in, and our van is going to be totaled by the time we come, and we're just going to walk into church in our last meeting, and that's going to be our deputation experience. It could have been easy to be discouraged, you know, after that first meeting. But we had to say, well, look, we're going to forget about that, and we're just going to keep on keeping on. We're going to go to the next meeting. We're going to do what God has given us to do, and the Lord bless. And no matter what God has given you to do, whether it is the full-time ministry or it is the job that God has given you, there's probably discouragements that you have faced. There's probably trials and difficulties that you've gone through. But the Apostle Paul says, look, forget those things and just continue keeping on. You know, not only do we have to forget those bad experiences in our life, you know, bitterness is something that we need to put behind us. Sin in general is something that's going to keep us from serving the Lord. And it's amazing how just a little bit of sin, a little bit of bitterness can completely ruin what God has given us to do. As I mentioned before, I played soccer in high school and in college, and for whatever reason, the cleats that I wore always rubbed a certain part of my foot on the very outside of my right foot. I developed this little, I didn't know what it was. It was just a little pain at the beginning in college, and it was just, it wasn't something that debilitated me and I was in a wheelchair, but it was something that was painful every time I took a step, and just something that reminded me that you need to get that looked and taken care of, and you need to take that, take it to the doctor and whatnot. And we got married, my wife and I, and I just kept putting it off. You know how guys are. We just, you know, I don't want to go to the doctor. It's going to be cancer or something, and they're going to have to amputate my foot, so I'm just going to leave it alone and make things better. And I just thought it would go away, right? And so I continued walking and continue playing on it, and it never went away. And so I thought, you know, I'm just going to go to the doctor and see what he says. And you know, it's probably going to be a huge wart that is, you know, on my foot, and they're going to have to remove it. And so I go into the doctor, and he takes a little knife, and he pulls out a piece of callus that had worked into next to the bone. It was no bigger than a pinhead of a needle, and he pulled it out, and I stepped on my foot, and it was completely pain-free. But for 5 years, I had walked on this foot. I just don't want to get it taken care of, and it's just going to be so huge, and you know, it's going to be a big hassle. And it ended up being so small, but once it was removed, oh, well, that was easy. Now I can continue walking pain-free. Sin is the exact same in our life, just a little bit. And it can completely ruin it. It can remind you, look, I'm not going to let you be at 100%. I'm not going to let you serve the Lord in the way that He wants you to. And until you get it taken care of, it's going to be a constant reminder. Look, this is sin in your life. You're not going to be able to serve God the way that He wants you to. You know, those bad things are things that we have to forget. That sin in our life, the bad experiences that we may have had in the past. But also, there are some good experiences that the Apostle Paul had to forget in his life. And you think about that. All the things that God allowed the Apostle Paul to do. There were probably thousands of people saved through the Apostle Paul's ministry. Churches were started in Ephesus and Colossae, Philippi, Corinth, all those cities. And Christianity spread mainly through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And if there was one person that could look back on his life and say, wow, you know, look at all the good things that God has done through me. Look at all the people that have been saved. You know, I can just sit back now in my latter years. When Philippians was written, it was written in Rome near the end of the Apostle Paul's life. He could have said, look at all the great things that I have done. Look at all the great things that God has done. You know, I have deserved a rest. I'm just going to sit back and just kind of coast through. But he said, no, I'm going to forget those things. I'm going to say, look, tomorrow is a new day. There are new battles to be fought. There are new victories to be won. I'm going to forget those things that are behind. You know, I think of Heritage Baptist Church and 31 years of everything that God has done. And just moving from the old building to the new building and having the meeting in the gym and then building the auditorium. And thousands, I'm sure, people have been saved. Lives have been changed. But that's not enough for us to say, well, you know what, look at what God has done in the past 31 years. We're just going to coast through, and we're just going to live in the past, and we're just going to live in the victories of the past. The Apostle Paul says, look, if you want to be used by God, you're going to have to forget those things as well. There are new things that God wants you to do. There's a new step that God wants you to take. You're going to have to forget some things. Let's keep reading in verse number 13 of Philippians chapter 3 again. Philippians chapter 3, 13, we'll read the whole verse again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The Apostle Paul says, if I'm going to serve God, if I'm going to do God's will in my life, first of all, I'm going to have to forget. But I'm going to have to reach as well. And when I think of the Apostle Paul reaching forth to those things which are before, I think of anticipation. The Apostle Paul was excited about what God was going to do with him. He saw a plan for the future. He saw what God wanted him to do, and he was excited about it. You know, so many times, and I definitely put myself in this, we go on visitation. We come to men's prayer meeting because that's what we do. We come to Wednesday night service because that's just what we have to do. We're not anticipating it. We're not excited about it. And then we we wonder, why didn't I get anything from that sermon? Why didn't God speak to me when he seemed to be speaking to everybody else? But the Apostle Paul said, look, I'm going to be reaching forth towards those things which are before. I'm going to be excited about it. I'm going to anticipate what God is going to do. And those are the people that God uses, the ones that are looking to be servants, the ones that are looking for an opportunity to be a servant and to be used by God. You know, our attitude about serving God is just as important as the action of serving God. You know, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. You know, you can put our money in the offering, but God loves a cheerful giver. Our attitude is just as important as the actual action. You know, so when we are forgetting those things that are behind us, we need to be reaching toward what God has for us in the future. We're looking for anticipation. You know, let's look in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13. You know, it's amazing that when God gives you something to do, for instance, going to Japan, that's a large task. But when God gives you something to do in your life, God will give you the abilities and the talents, the desire to do what he has put before you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God provides us both the desire and the ability to do his will. You know, you think, how did you arrive at the place where you're going to go to Japan? You know, that is not exactly something that you just decide one night. You know, like, yeah, I'm tired of living here in Virginia. We're just going to move to Japan and we're going to learn Japanese and eat with chopsticks and, you know, eat sushi all the time. That's what I want to do with my life. And we're just going to move to Japan. How did God work in our lives? It is God which worketh in you both to will. God gave us the desire. God said, look, there's a country out there with 127 million people that need to hear the gospel. And I've given you the opportunity to go there. And I've given you the abilities. You know, it is amazing. As Pastor was talking about growing up here at Heritage and going off to college and all those different things, one of the things that he didn't mention, which if you were around when I was growing up, was I was an incredibly shy person. When I was in high school, I would not be the person that you would pick to say, hey, there's a missionary. There's somebody that, you know, is going to be used by God. I wouldn't stand in front of Mrs. Souza's speech class and speak. It was terrifying to me. When I went to college, we had to pick a ministry in order to serve in. And I was thinking, okay, what do I have to do in order not to speak to anybody and kind of be in the background? So I chose the deaf ministry. And I did because Sarah was in it, and it worked out okay. But that was just my mindset. Not really. I'm kidding about that. But I was an incredibly shy person. And long story short, God has brought us to this point and given us the next step to take and this next step of faith and the opportunities to serve him until finally, here we are going to Japan. But it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, just another silly example. And I have, all my examples are silly because that's the only examples that I know. I'm used to working with teenagers and those are the sort of illustrations and examples I have. But if you know my wife Sarah and I, we are big hunters. We love to hunt. And when we were first married, we lived in Percival, which is about an hour and a half northwest of here. And we lived in a perfect location for us. We walked about a quarter of a mile away, and we would go hunting out there. And many times I would come home from work after dark, and my wife would be out in the woods in a tree with a crossbow, you know, waiting for a deer to wander by. And that was my wife and I. And that's what we love doing. We just love doing that. When God started working on our hearts about going to Japan, one of the very first things, and I know you'll think that's just, why would you think of that? One of the first things I thought of is, well, there's no hunting in Japan. I looked it up. They have snow monkeys and you can't even shoot them. And I don't know what else there are, but you know, there's no hunting there in Japan. You can't even own a gun. You can own a Nerf gun, but you have to get it registered. I don't know. And there's all these things that crossed my mind. And to be honest, it was a difficult decision. We can't go hunting in Japan. I can't take all of the arsenal that I have acquired over to Japan with me. And to tell you the truth, it was a struggle. But it got to the point where God said, look, is doing my will for you more important than going hunting? Or are you going to follow me? And God changed our desires. It's not that I don't like hunting anymore. But the desire to get to Japan, the desire to do what God wants in our life is so strong that hunting has just become, you know, something that, you know, I'll do it if I have an opportunity to, but it's not going to keep me back from serving the Lord. It's God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And lastly, we do have to forget some things. We do have to reach for what God has given us to do. But let's read verse number 14, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. The Apostle Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, if I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to forget some things. I'm going to forget those experiences that I've had in the past. I'm going to have to forget what God has done through me. I'm going to reach for the future. I'm going to look with anticipation what God is going to do through us. And I'm going to press toward the mark. And when I see the word press, I just imagine somebody that is not going to give up for anything to do what God has given them to do. In fact, in verse number 6 of the same chapter, Philippians 3:6, it says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And that word persecuting is translated, that's translated persecuting, is the same word that's translated I press. And it's not that the Apostle Paul was going to persecute or put under trial the will of God. But he was saying, with the same zeal that I persecuted the church, with the same zeal that I went after Christians and put them into persecution and threw them into jail and was consenting to their death, with that same zeal, I'm going to press toward the mark. I'm going to not let anything stand in my way. I'm not going to let myself get discouraged. I'm not going to let these difficulties stand in my path. I'm going to press through them. I'm going to continue working. You know, if you're going to do anything well, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes your 100% focus. It takes you sweating out there. It takes your attention. You have to press. You have to be willing to work hard and do what God has given you to do. You know, before our son Timothy was born, he's about 18 months now, but before he was born, people had told me about how difficult being a father was. And now that I have 18 months of experience, I know that they are true, and I'm pretty much ready for the future. You know, teenage years, no problem. I've got everything taken care of. But 18 months, I've already found out, look, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be when he was first born. I had the opportunity or the job to rock him to sleep at night. And so, I would always be holding Timmy and rocking him to sleep until he went to bed and I'd put him down. And one of the other things that Timmy did, because he was just a rebellious child, he would spit up all the time. And we had a lot of laundry to do. And one day I just decided I was going to help out my wife and I was going to do the laundry for her. And actually, she told me to do it. And I just said, yes, dear. And so I picked up the load that I was going to go take to the washing machine. I'm holding it. And next thing you know, my wife begins talking to me and asking me a question or something. And so we begin conversing. And next thing you know, I'm holding this load of laundry and I'm rocking the load of laundry to sleep, you know, because I'm so used to my complete mindset had changed, because here now I am a father and that's what I do. And it's amazing how much my senses have been sharpened. I'm a very heavy sleeper. I do have to say that. But one evening, as Timmy got older, I guess I should explain, as Timmy gets older, we learn different things that we need to do in order to keep him safe. And one of the things that people have instructed us is if he is choking on something, you have to stick your finger in his mouth and do a finger swipe and pull it out and save his life. And so we have been, you know, thinking about this. And as he began getting about a year old and began sticking things in his mouth, we began, trying to think about those things and, you know, trying to keep our kids safe. And one evening I'm dead asleep and I have a very vivid dream that Timothy is choking. And you know, I'm going to save Timothy. So I get my finger and I'm going to, you know, do a finger swipe and a finger sweep in his mouth. And I wake up and I'm holding my wife's mouth like this. And my finger is in her mouth trying to save her life. And it's amazing how my life has changed just being a father. I have no idea where I was going with that. But being a father, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes us our concentration, our focus. If we're going to do anything for God, it's going to take us pressing. Apostle Paul says, if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to press. You know, the Apostle Paul was not waiting back, waiting for an opportunity to serve God, fall out of heaven and hit him over the head. He was saying, I'm going to go out and look for ways that I'm going to serve. I'm going to volunteer to be in the bus ministry. I'm going to volunteer to do whatever it takes to serve God. I'm going to press toward the mark. And what was the mark that the Apostle Paul was pressing for? It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, back in these days, in the Apostle Paul's time, when he would use examples many times of sports and racing and things like this, and back in those days, when a runner would complete when he would win the race, he would receive a laurel crown, just a crown of greenery. And, you know, I look at that and I think, oh, well, you know, why would you compete in a race and give your heart in order to get a little, you know, a holly bush stuck on your head? You know, what is so important about that? But then I started doing a little bit of looking, and the goal was not trying to get the crown. When people would win a race, the importance of it was the person giving you the crown. If it was an important race, you know, the emperor would be there, and he would give you the crown, and that would be a high prestige. I think of, if you're in the military or work with them, you know what I'm talking about here, but challenge coins. I've never really understood the purpose of them, but for those of you who don't know, there are some people in the military or otherwise that they have these coins, and they're not worth anything. You can't spend them on anything. They're not worth any money. But they have a logo printed on them with their insignia or seal or something like this. And before we started deputation, I was working for the Army. And every once in a very long while, somebody mistakenly thought I did a good job and would give me a challenge coin. And I never really understood what they were for. But it wasn't that the challenge coin was anything special, but as a little competition between other people in your work office or something like this, you see who has gotten the challenge coin from the person with the highest office, you know, maybe the Secretary of Defense or, you know, I have no idea what would be a good goal. But it's not that the challenge coin is anything great. It's the person that has given you the challenge coin. You know, it's the same in our Christian lives. We're not competing. We're not running. We're not pressing for the crown. We're pressing for the person that's holding the crown, the person that is going to give us the crown and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not just the fact that we're going to get something that we can hold in our hands in heaven. It's something that we can cast back at Jesus' feet and say, God, you're the one that has won the victories. We're going to give you the honor and the glory. But, you know, in order for us to get to that point, there are some things that we have to forget. We have to reach with anticipation for what God has given us to do. And then we have to press. We have to continue fighting. We have to press. We have to press. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to gather together. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us in here this evening. Lord, I pray that you would help us to serve you with everything that we have. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What a great message. What a great truth. And I just want to give God the opportunity to speak to our hearts from it. Maybe there's some things that you do need to put behind you. Are you serving like you know God wants you to serve? You know, maybe there really are some things that are worth reaching forward. I wrote down something that Paul said that I thought was so important. Our attitude about serving God is just as important as our action in serving God. Maybe you don't do what you used to do because your attitude is poor. Maybe you just need to ask God, God, I need that little thing removed, just like he had it removed from his foot. I need that thing out of my life. My attitude is not right. You know, there really are some goals that are worth pressing for. And I know that not everybody here is a preacher, and that's not what I'm saying, but are you pressing for any goal spiritually? What is your goal to grow this year, to become for the Lord? I'm encouraged. God can work in any of our lives if we're willing to forget and reach and press. Father, help us to see the truth for our lives. Work in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you quietly stand to your feet? As the instruments are playing, if God's spoken, why don't you make your way to this altar? Lord, here's the truth. There are some things that I need to put behind me because I really need to serve you. I've let them plague me. I've let them bother me. I've let them stop me. And I just need to put them behind me. And there really are some things worth reaching for. I want to be used of you, God. I want to make a difference for you, and I'm going to press towards that. Why don't you use these moments and come? Maybe you'd like to come and pray for Paul and Sarah. Come ahead. Would you come? Others are coming. We don't have to be in a hurry tonight.